Join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is We're Out Here Now by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
I'm going to wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the, and I'm going to look for him. That means I'm going to keep my expectation high. No matter what the situation is, I'm out here now. I'm in the midst of this storm, but I know I'm in the will of God. I know I'm where he told me to be. I know I'm doing what he told me to do. I'm going to wait for God, even though it looks like he's hiding from me. And while you're waiting, you got to rest assured that God has a plan for your life. Say that with me. Say, God has a plan for my life. Now, I've said this way for years. God knows what he's doing with my life, because that's the way the Lord spoke that to me years ago when it looked like, you know, I was still on secular job and corporate didn't want to necessarily be there. And I felt like I should be in ministry and doing this and that. And all my friends looked like they were going forward, full-time evangelists, started churches, doing this and that. And it looked like I was being left behind. And the Lord said to me and gave me those words. And I started repeating, I know what I'm doing with your life. I know what I'm doing with it. In other words, saying, I know you don't know, but I got a plan and I know what I'm doing, even if you don't know what I'm doing. But you got to trust that I know what I'm doing. You have to trust that God knows what he's doing. So I've learned to say it this way. God is not mismanaging my life. Say that. Say, God is not mismanaging my life. You don't have to show God your birth certificate. Lord, you know how old I am. You don't have to show God how long that's been on your credit report. God, you know how long this has been this way? I try to do like I literally did this when I went through. We were in Maine and we were struggling. We went from struggling to struggling. And I had been tithing since I was a child. And for the first time, I'm battling, struggling, tithing. And so I put together my budget. And I went to the church. We had prayer on Wednesday night before service. And I got on my knees. I said, 30,000, Lord. 30,000, Lord. 30,000. Oh, God. You're able. And I said, Lord, don't you see this bill, Jesus? Lord, I owe GMAC, God. I need old them 10,000. Lord, I owe New Jersey Higher Education. See, that's the second line, Lord. And 30,000, Jesus. Ah, 30,000, Lord. Oh, y'all don't know about praying like that. I don't know if people thought we'd moan it could make it a little more effective. But I literally was presenting my budget to the Lord. I'm serious. I presented God, you know, the Bible said, write the vision, make it plain. Do you see this vision? Here's the vision. And God, I'll never forget. God told me, I'm not giving you 30,000. That was the worst word I ever got from God. I just thought that was so mean. And I remember telling God, God, I don't understand this because you got all the money, all the gold is yours, all the silver is yours. If I had $30,000, I'd give it to you. I'm very serious. And I'm like, you can't give me $30,000? And the Lord spoke to me and said, and it was years later before I understood what he was really saying to me. He said, you're interested in prosperity, and I'm interested in giving you a life of prosperity. Later, I understood the Lord saying, you're interested in an event, and I'm trying to give you a prosperous life. Because, see, after the $30,000, I'm still going to need some other stuff. $30,000 was not going to change my life. Well, it felt like it would. For the rest of my life. It got me out of this debt in the meantime. But if certain things I didn't learn, in a couple of years, I'd be back in $100,000 debt. In fact, I learned the principles that got me in the 30. Are you following me? Sometimes we think we're ready. You ain't ready. We think we're ready. And God knows what he's doing for us because he's working some stuff in us while we're going through all of this stuff. He's working some stuff in us and he's working some things out of us. And so you have to wait on God and rest assured he has a plan. Isaiah 30:18 says, and therefore will the Lord wait. Okay. We don't read this scripture much. Therefore, will the Lord wait? Will God is waiting. Therefore, will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore, will he be exalted. God, I never forget the Lord showed me this. God said, this is bigger than your comfort. God said, I'm interested in my glory more than your comfort. I know it's hard for us to receive that because we just want to be comfortable right now. But God said, my glory is worth more than your comfort. So sometimes you got to be uncomfortable so he can get glory. Now, it's not going to be this way always. Weeping endures for a night. Everybody talk about the joy that comes in the morning, but in the meantime, I'm weeping. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but he deliver us out of them all. But in the meantime, I'm going through the pain of this affliction. He will deliver. He will bring me out. But in the meantime, I got to wait on the Lord. Or is somebody with me here? So he said, therefore will the Lord wait, but God is waiting with purpose. God is not waiting to aggravate you. God's not waiting to make you more impatient. God is not waiting to make you irritable. He's waiting that he may be gracious to you. He said, I got a plan that's bigger than what you're thinking. I got more money than you believe in me for right now. I got higher places than you think you can go. I am waiting because I'm setting some things up so I can show forth my goodness for you, through you, and in you. God will be gracious. God's waiting so it can be great. Therefore, will he be exalted? Will he be magnified? Will he be glorified? Watch it, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that what? Wait for him, blessed, empowered to prosper. If I wait while I'm out here. And this, can I tell you this, waiting, I often told you all this again. Boy coming up in Jersey City, New Jersey, many times when a teenager stood out there waiting for the bus. And especially in the winter, it was cold. I remember these days vividly. And so the bus supposed to come down Bergen Avenue or Ocean Avenue. Those from Jersey City know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, the bus supposed to be there at a certain time. And then you look at the bus. And so we would run out in the street. You run out in the street to see if the bus is coming. And then I said, oh, then you go back and you're standing there. Oh, man, you're cold. That ain't waiting on the Lord. See, if you go, all this anxiety, you're not waiting on God. You may be putting time in. Time may be passing by. But you're not waiting. When you really wait on God, you're in a place of peace. To really wait on God is to keep the right attitude. To really wait on God is to be like Job. You're crazy. God's good. I want my appointed time. I'm going to wait on the Lord. No. I'm not going to charge God foolishly with my mouth. I'm not going to say everything that comes to my mind. I'm not going to get in agreement with you because you don't understand what's going on. You don't have to know it. This ain't your life. This is my life. So don't faint while you're out here. Don't faint and don't give up while waiting. We've been quoting the scripture all week. We sang it this morning, Isaiah 40, 29, 31. He giveth power. power to the faint. I feel like I'm going down. He's going to give you power. I feel like I can't take it anymore. He's going to give you power. He gives power to the faint, to those who feel like I'm weak, to those who feel like I can't go on. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Can I tell you, sometimes you got to get to the place acknowledging I have no might. That's what Jehoshaphat did in 2 Chronicles 20. We have no might against this great army, but our eyes are on you. When you realize you have no might, which means this is beyond your ability, this is beyond your strength, it's beyond your money, it's beyond your education, it's beyond your ingenuity, then his strength, Paul said, is made perfect in your weakness. Sometimes you got to empty yourself out so he can fill you up. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. As long as you're trying to do it in your own strength, tell them, God, don't worry about this. I got this. I can handle this. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. He said, this has nothing. I want you to catch this here. This has nothing to do with biological age. That's why he said he gives, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Well, I'm not as young as I used to be. God said, I know your birthday. I was there before you were born. I chose your birthday. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. People younger than you will give up, cave in, quit, can't make it, can't sustain anything. But they, regardless of your age, that wait, stay there, stay in faith, get intertwined, spend time with, tarry in his presence, get braided with him. They that wait, Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Somebody say, I'm not about to give up now. I'm here to tell you, when you are out here now, you got to know that you're so far out here that you can't turn back now. Somebody say, I can't go back. I can't go back. I can't go back. Glory to God. The Bible tells us, as I close this, in Hebrews 10, 36 through 39, you just got need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while. Somebody say, any minute now. Yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. But for now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, if any man go back, if any man say, I've been out here too long, if anybody say, Jesus is not going to show up, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Why? Because faith pleases God. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. But we are them that believe to the saving of the soul. The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotion. In other words, I hang in there till I get my thoughts right. I hang in there till depression turns into joy. I hang in there till what I don't see, I start seeing through the eyes of my spirit. Are you hearing me? We believe to the saving of the soul. Till I start talking better. Till I start living better. Till I start thinking better. We believe to the saving of the soul. So if you're out there, my word to you is to keep on going. Look, somebody say, keep on going. Oh my God. God told the children of Israel, they got to the place that they said, we out here now. Now they start looking at Moses and say, what have you done? Did you bring us out here because of no graves in Egypt? Then they start getting tired of the manna and the quail. Did you, man, back in Egypt, we had all kinds of stuff. And now we eat the same thing all the time. But God tells the children of Israel, even when they get to the Red Sea, all they hear is the ching and the chang of swords and of javelins and of the horses. And they hear the hoofs of horses. To the side of them, there are mountains that are too rugged and too high for them to climb. And to the front of them is the Red Sea. And that's when maybe somebody, they got, that's where you're caught between a rock and a hard place. Oh my God. But God tells Moses, soldier. Exodus 14 and 15. And the Lord said to Moses, can I tell you, remember what God said. I know you're tired, but remember what God said. I know you're weary, but remember what God said. I know this child is very rebellious right now, but believe God and remember what God told you about that child. Are y'all listening to me today? And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore you crying after me? What you crying for? What you screaming for? What you falling out for? You ever see a child falling out? Get up. All this, we ain't having that. At first you put up with it, then after a while, get up. That's what God's saying to somebody, get up. Just stop, we ain't have all this. Now you're getting too old for that. You're getting too old to backslide every time you go through a trial. Single people, you're getting too old to backslide because you thought this was the one. If you listen to God in the first place, you would have known it wasn't the one. Maybe the fact that he didn't have no job, no car, no teeth could have been an indication. Why criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Somebody say, I'm going forward. He says, speak that they go forward. Go forward. But when I look forward, it looks like I'm going to drown. Go forward. But if I go forward, it looks like I'm going to fall off the cliff. Go forward. But if I go forward, doesn't look like I have any support. But go forward. Why does God say go forward when it looks like we can't go forward? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. So that's the word of the Lord. When you're out here, remember he knows you're out there. Keep moving forward. I told y'all, or I didn't tell you, I was recently told my staff, as a child, I would apply, make the teams, practice, and quit before the first game. I didn't have anybody in my family supporting me. When my mother, when she was working, my father wasn't around. And so I didn't have anybody to encourage me. So, see, because I went to an all-white school, and I was like, be like the only black kid in the team, I just figured all the eyes expect me to be Michael Jordan. That wasn't about to happen, so. That was just too much pressure for a young brother. That's too much pressure. So I would make the team, I'd practice, then I would quit. And as I look back over my life, I had a habit of quitting. Some of y'all need to look over your life. Do you have a habit of quitting? I know some people, listen to me. The Bible says you'll be rewarded. He wants to say, well done, thou what? Good and faithful. Oh, good and faithful. I've discovered a lot of people good. They just won't be faithful. There are some people, man, they got the expertise. Nobody can do it like them. No one can put it together like them. No one can organize it like them. No one can sing like them. No one can play like them. No one can think like them. No one can process it like them. They're really good. You just can't depend on them. They're good. They're just not faithful. And then you got people who are faithful. I'll do it. Yeah, but you can't. Okay. Yeah. Real faith. They will be at everything. They're always volunteering. They're just not good. They're faithful. Man, if we could ever get those two characteristics together, that you are good and faithful. Good and faithful. And the truth of the matter is, when you really look at it, God uses more of the faithful than the good. Because if you're faithful, God said, just because you'll show up, I'll anoint you. But when you're just good, you think you're too good that you don't need God. But we got to get those together. And then I remember one time I was in Boy Scouts and we had a swimming competition against some other troops. My troop was 516. jumped in the pool. I'm swimming, headed to, it was only one, you know, just one lap down. And I was like in this, I think I was like in the second. And I got halfway down, I started feeling tired. I exited right. Went across lane one, got up out. I said, now this ain't gonna work. Y'all know if I didn't have a certain degree of success in my life now, I would never tell you these stories. You say, you always said, man, you're just a big loser. But I had to learn in life, y'all, you can't stop because stuff gets tough. Students, those of you getting ready to go to college, it's going to get tough. Students who breeze through high school, it's a different world from where you come from. Yes, it is now. It's a different world from where you come from. College is different than high school. College is different than high school. Yeah. And you can't give up just because it gets hard. I was thinking the other day, my son Tyler, who's running for city council at large now, the truth of the matter is, in high school, he was not the best of students. He did enough. And goes to college and starts thriving. Senior year, after I'm paying $36,000 a year cash for him to go to Hampton University, I start looking at another boat. I said, I'm rich. Once this tuition paid, yes, sir. I start looking at another boat. And the last semester, he calls and said, Dad, I want to go to law school. You want to what? My first thought was, in my mind was, I'm paying for undergrad, you ain't. Then I had to catch myself. So we worked out something for him to go to law school, and I took care of him while he was there and paid the tuition. And then second year or third year, whatever, we worked out a joint thing together. But I often think, I said, what could I have done? I think off of all I have done. I said, how much further could I have been along? If I had somebody in my ear saying, don't you give up. You can't quit everything as soon as it gets hard. Young lady here in the church yesterday, we were talking. You know, Pastor Marcia, she's extremely disciplined. That's in her life, period. Prayer life, eating life, exercise life, and all that. Okay, she's just extremely disciplined. And one thing, the young lady was here at the church yesterday and was saying, one thing, athletes are taught, you got to be disciplined. It ain't about what you feel. You're not at practice because you feel like going to practice. You're at practice because we got practice. And some of us, we got to learn to exercise our faith and exercise godliness and be disciplined about it. Now we believe we got the King, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the great I Am and nobody like Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, Mary's baby, the Prince of Peace, bright morning star. We got Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and we're some of the most undisciplined people. Come on, y'all know it. Muslims are disciplined. A real Muslim has a prayer life. They pray to wherever they pray so many times a day. A devout Jew keeps Shabbat. We call it Sabbath, Shabbat. They're very disciplined in the diet. Christians, we have no discipline. And we're going to have to learn if we're going to, the Bible says, he that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That word temperate means discipline. And I'm telling you, you got to be disciplined in your faith to not give up, cave in and quit because stuff gets hard. Or you got to work with people who you don't like. Have you ever thought they don't like you either? I don't like them, but they don't like you either. But they don't run away. In ministry, in life, You have to deal with people. Amen. Like them or not. You can't run from everybody you don't like. You can't run from every situation you don't like. Students, you ain't going to be able to withdraw from every professor you don't like. You're going to have to learn to deal with people, deal with things and situations you don't like. The disciples did not like being in the midst of that storm, but they were out here now, and Jesus told them to be out there. And I got to wait. He's going to show up, and he showed up in the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Jesus shows up. When he told them he was coming, it wasn't even dark yet. But here's the other thing. All the gospels don't show us this. I believe it's one of them says this. He saw them toiling and rowing. And he came and walked on the water. You know, that makes a little more sense to me, because I used to always wonder. I understand he's Jesus and everything, but what just makes a man get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and say, you know, I just want to go walking on the sea. But the Bible says he went because he saw them toiling and rowing. And some of y'all are having a hard time right now. Come on, stand with me. You may be having a hard time in your marriage. Maybe having a hard time with your finances. Maybe having a hard time in your job. Some parents, you may be having a hard time with your children. But can I give you this word of assurance? Jesus sees you toiling and rowing. And he'll come to you. But you got to wait for him.
When you're out there, you have to know Jesus sent you out there. God will sometimes call you and send you to do crazy and scary things, but you have to know he's got you. In this powerful series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how we must carry ourselves when we're out there doing what God has called us to do. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at @TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.